Genesis chapter 27, 19 to 29. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth its richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Chapter 28, 10 to 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, although the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth."
Thank you for the privilege of being here today to enjoy worship with you. Thank you for leading us, Chris. And, of course, the pleasure of sharing God's word, and especially thinking about one of the patriarchs, these old key men in the Old Testament, and especially this morning, Jacob. Jacob's quite a character. Their title is Jacob, the Schemer and the Dreamer. As I was thinking about this, I thought, this is actually quite difficult. Because I'm going to a lovely city of Bath. I'm going to a lovely church with a nice congregation. the subject sounds quite nice, you know, the schemer and the dreamer, but actually, scheming is not a good thing to do. Scheming is dark. For example, if we think of what went on in the invasion, I have a lasting memory prior to the invasion of Ukraine of all the Russian troops massed on the border. Putin was scheming. And then a few weekends ago, we saw what happened in Palestine and Gaza and Israel. And for that to happen, people were scheming. I don't know if you've ever been the object of somebody's scheming, but it can be very painful. Marriage breakup involves scheming. So actually, it's not just a pretty topic, it's quite a serious issue. And so I've put up these two verses right at the beginning just to focus our minds. We've been thinking a lot about God this morning, and I've appreciated that. And in John chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So scheming involves darkness, but in God there is no darkness. And then Hebrews chapter 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. So the schemer thinks that they're doing it in the dark and nobody knows, but actually God knows and sees everything. We first read in Genesis chapter 27 the story of a scheming father, mother, and son. The son Jacob fits this story because his name means supplanter or deceiver. He had already tricked his brother Esau out of his birthright in Genesis chapter 25. And here we have a divided family. The mother wants one thing and the father wants another. God had told Isaac and Rebekah that the older son, Esau, would serve the younger son, Jacob. But the father, Isaac, ignored this. He ignored God and he tried to bless Esau in secret. Normally, this kind of blessing was given with all the family present together. Rebekah, on the other hand, wants the blessing for Jacob. And we read Isaac's eyesight is dim, he's getting old, and he wants to put his affairs in order. He asks Esau to prepare a meal of game, after which he would bless him. Esau was a hunter. Rebekah overheard the conversation and schemes to trick Isaac, the old man, into blessing Jacob. She made a meal that Esau, the hunter, would have cooked. Well, actually, she made goat rather than game. She made Jacob dress like Esau, and Esau then took the food to the father. And in doing so, Jacob deceives his father and receives Esau's blessing. Rebekah didn't trust God, but felt she needed to help him fulfill his plan. And Jacob cooperated with his mother's scheming. He could have said no, but in the passage that we read, well, an extension of that passage had we read earlier, Esau tells six lies. He claimed to be Esau. He claimed to have killed an animal, as his father asked. He said he had a meal of game, when actually it was goat. He said God had helped him get it quickly, perhaps one of the worst lies that he told. And when Isaac asked if he was Jacob, he said he was Esau. As we consider this idea of scheming, I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. The heart, or our hearts, are deceitful and above all things, desperately wicked. And as Chris was leading us this morning, he spoke about us being sinners. And we'll come to that just in a minute. The next part on this slide reminds us what scheming is from the story. Scheming is selfish. It's about me. It's about me trying to get what I want or trying to make it so that somebody else doesn't get what they should have. We've seen scheming often involves lies and a lack of transparency. It's done in secret. It's done in the background. It's not honest. And we've seen that scheming can ruin lives. If we had to continue reading on through Genesis, you would discover that because of what Jacob did to Esau, Esau determined to kill his brother. And we find out that Jacob had to flee because Esau was going to kill him. And sadly, when Jacob fled from his family home, it was 20 years before he was back, and by that time, his mother had died. So he never saw his mother again. So scheming can ruin lives, and we see that in marriages and so on. The next thing is that scheming is seen. We think that nobody knows, but the next slide shows us that scheming is seen. That's why I put right at the top, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. If we can have the next slide. Thank you. And then God takes a dim view of scheming. It's not something that God is happy with. There's a story in Acts chapter 5 which speaks about a couple who sold a piece of land and was going to give the money to the disciples to distribute amongst the others. And they kept some of the money back for themselves, but they said they had given it all. And God judges both the husband and the wife. They were scheming. God knew they were scheming, and God punished them for the scheming that they did. And if we think about schemers in the Bible, we think of Judas, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We think of David, who, in order to get another man's wife, caused a man to be killed. And we think of the disciples who had a discussion amongst themselves who would be the greatest. Money, sex, and power, all involved in scheming. And the danger of this topic is that we think that we are not like Jacob. Scheming here is big, but actually, scheming can be small. Scheming can be subtle. And I think we're all guilty of scheming. Like Jacob and Rebecca, we sometimes fail to rest on God's faithfulness. We think our action will help us make something secure. As I conclude this part, I want to remind you that faith in God's faithfulness is living without scheming. Faith is living without scheming. There is no place for deception in the life of the Christian. We've been thinking about light this morning. Ephesians 5 verse 8 to 14 is a wonderful passage. And part of that passage says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." And 1 John 1 verse 6 reminds us, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth." And of course, the antidote to scheming is honesty, transparency, and integrity. And it's possible that there may be somebody here, even at the moment, is in the process of scheming. Scheming in a marriage, scheming in a family, scheming in the workplace, scheming in finance. We need to stop it and move on from it. Let's not be like Jacob. So Jacob was a schemer. Secondly, Jacob becomes the dreamer. Genesis chapter 28. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking this isn't so much a story about Jacob This part of the story is about God and God's grace. A young man was on the run from his brother. He was alone. He was facing an unknown future. And God steps in. God speaks. As he journeys, night falls. He finds a stone for a pillow. I never understand that. I would not like to lie on a stone for a pillow. Whether that meant a large stone, or I don't know what it means, but certainly I don't fancy sleeping on a pillow of a stone. He sleeps on the ground, and as he sleeps, he dreams. And he sees a ladder, a stairway from earth to heaven, with angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. But more importantly, we read that the Lord is at the top of the ladder, and it's he who speaks. And so to this young man, God appears, he speaks, and he blesses. God tells Jacob that he will be given the land that he's lying on. His descendants will be like the dust of the earth. These descendants will bless all the people of the earth. And then God says, I am with you. I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you safely back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. My goodness, what a cast iron guarantee. Amazing. And so God puts Jacob in the line of men that he had blessed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And years to come, the Israelites would constantly be referred back to, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amazing. Here, Jacob, when he had no human support and needed protection, God meets him just where he is and helps this undeserving man. This is God's grace at work. That's how God's grace operates, reaching out to troubled souls. And the amazing news this morning is that that's true for us as well. God in his grace comes to our brokenness with a promise of undeserved blessing through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to say this morning that God's heart is to bless each one of us, not to condemn us. So wherever you're operating this morning, there is hope. There is hope in the gospel. There is hope in the God who brings his grace and makes it available to us. It would turn out that Jacob had to reap what he had sown, because he was going to meet his uncle Laban. And Jacob had deceived, and he would learn what it meant to be deceived because of his uncle's treatment of him. But God would be with him. But God would be faithful, and he would be changed. So God speaks in the night to Jacob. And Jacob, amazed by God's grace and God's goodness and the awe that he felt as he saw this dream, he awakes and is afraid. And he says, how awesome is this place? Surely God is here. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And he calls the place Bethel. Then the stone that he slept on, he raises up. And he worships God for his goodness. He pours oil on the stone. Sacrificing oil was of something of value. And in doing so, he expresses gratitude to God. And that offering is symbolic of devotion, the pouring out of one's life. As he worships, and as we think about his worship, recognizing God's intervention in our life, my question for all of us this morning is our praise as heartfelt this morning as it always has been? Do we still worship God as we always have, with that deep reverence, awe, and thanksgiving for his grace in our lives? So God speaks, Jacob worships, and then Jacob vows. On this point, commentators disagree, because in verse 20 of Genesis 28, we read, Jacob says to God, if God be with me and will keep me in this in the way that I am going, if he will give me bread to eat and clothing to put on so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. So a question for you this morning is Jacob, in making this vow, bargaining with God? Well, some say it wasn't a bargain. So, they would say, you can't have such an experience of God and then make a cheap bargain with him. And they would say that the word if actually means since. They would say, since God was going to care for him, be with him, bring him back home safely, because of that, in faith, Jacob would affirm his faith in God and God would be his God. That's what some commentators think. Others think the vow is calculating. Before he was going to completely commit himself to God, God would have to do all these things. That sounds more like me, actually. Or Thomas, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in them and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. I don't know which one of these is correct, but what I do know is that Jacob was not yet what God wanted him to be. Jacob was not yet what God wanted him to be. As we think of making vows, we've all made vows, I'm sure, and there may have been times in our lives where it's been really tough. And we've said to God, I'll do such and such if only you will sort this out. That's not how God works. He calls on us to trust him. And he calls on us to put our faith in who he is. And a simple question coming out of this aspect of vows. The question for us is, have we kept all the vows that we've ever made to other people or to God? And if not, why not? Do we ever bargain with God? Jacob didn't have an easy life in the years that followed. I've already mentioned that his father-in-law Laban deceived him. He endured trials as a shepherd and many other things. But the thing that kept him going was his faith in the promises of God. The Lord didn't fail him, and the Lord will not fail us. As we conclude this morning, the schemer became a dreamer. The dream caused Jacob to realize that the God of his fathers, Abraham and Isaac, was his God too. He left home, but God didn't leave him. God would appear to Jacob at least 5 more times in the years ahead. But this first meeting was very, very significant. This was Jacob's new beginning, a path of discipleship, a path of journeying with God, a God he could trust and a God who would go with him. The God who took time to intervene in Jacob's life at Bethel is the same God who's willing to take time with us. Sometimes we are not in a good place, and yet God draws alongside, brings his compassion, his care, and his help. As God led Jacob, he became a changed man, and God even changed his name from supplanter or deceiver to one he fights or persists with God. That's where God would love us to be. And the story is wonderful because in Genesis chapter 33, Jacob was united with his brother Esau. Esau didn't kill him. Jacob was really worried. And in fact, Esau came and they embraced each other. In Genesis chapter 46, Jacob prepares his family to leave Canaan for Egypt. A remarkable venture of faith of a man who was trusting in God. At 130 years old, and I don't think there's anybody here today that old, Jacob sets out in faith, no longer negotiating, no longer wrestling, no longer trying to manipulate God. And Jacob's life is a wonderful illustration of the spiritual journey that can go from selfishness and deceit to obedience and devotion. That journey can be our journey too. We're going to close this morning singing Faithful One, and then we'll conclude our service in prayer after we sing this lovely song together. Together. Lord, we do give thanks for the relevance of your word even in our lives today. We thank you for its power. We thank you for its opening ourselves up to ourselves, showing us what we're like and who we are. And Lord, we pray that none of us this morning may be in the process of scheming this or that. And if we are, we pray that we would bring that to you today, that we would confess our sin and we would ask for your forgiveness. We do thank you for the amazing intervention of God, the Almighty One, in Jacob's life. We thank you for this dream. We thank you for the vows that he made. We thank you for his worship. And as we come this morning, we pray that in those circumstances of life that are tough, that we've been singing about, we pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself, that you would draw alongside, and that your ministry to us would be very evident this morning. So we pray for one another. Lord, we don't know what's behind one another's faces or the challenges that there are. We ask, Lord, that like Jacob, we may commit to being those for whom you are our God. So we pray this as we give thanks and as we move into this week, we ask that you would go with us and help us in all that we have to do. So we ask for your help and blessing, and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.